Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Yes, good morning, everybody. This is Tippy Feldstein talking. Bright and early on the Monday morning, ready to take on the week. If you want to hear more of this wonderful music, you can go to newbornband.com, and you'll also see events that they perform live all over New York. And today we have someone that caught my attention because of the name of his business. I thought it was very unusual. I have never heard anything like that. And he is the travel agent for your boxes. So I want you to think about that. Travel agent for your boxes, what does that mean to you? Because we will be explaining to you. Joining us today will be William, I say Balash, you guys may say Balish or Balish, not sure, but we will find out too. And William works with businesses, and he helps them be the travel agent for their boxes, which I will let him explain what that means. But that's not all that there is to him. There's a lot more. And very, very interesting kind of life that you might learn from and you might understand. One of the things that we always tend to do is look at a person on how, what they do and what they work, but sometimes, well, all the time, there's so much more to it. William Balash started working at age 5. That in itself is very, very unique. How many people do you know that start their career at 5? And so I would like to welcome William. Thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to hear about your journey from there into traveling with being a travel agent for the boxes. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, Tippy. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you.
So, yes, travel agent for your boxes. We work with startups, all the way international companies, on the shipping and logistics side of the business. It's more than just the cost of the box. There's a lot of different ways of saving money. A lot of small businesses, even large businesses, have questions about how to either do the shipping process or improve the shipping process. I mean, everyone wants to be more competitive. So that's where we are.
Well, there's a lot of companies that do shipping for businesses and for private. They pick up packages, like those big companies that we have in the United States. But nobody ever came up with a name like travel agent for your boxes, which really shows a little bit more than someone who just works for businesses trying to make it better. So that's a very unique and a very creative perspective of what you actually do. So can I ask you how you came up with that name?
I was talking with my goddaughter was asking me about what it is I was doing. And I explained to her, it's kind of the same thing. I've always been in business development, so it's always been important to me to help my clients grow their business, not just about sell them something. So I explained that. That's what I'm doing. We look at all the different sides of the shipping, the whole back-end process, and look for ways to help them. And that was just a way to explain it.
So how old is she?
At the time, she was probably in her, I guess, in her early 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So smart girl.
Very smart.
Yeah. So
very smart girl.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Right. So you don't just approach a company and say, I'm going to be helping you with your boxes. You kind of look at the whole picture and see how they can improve the overall business productivity or their overall growth, how they can grow and how they can do other things other than just your specific interest with the boxes.
Correct. Everybody can come in and say, hey, I'll save you money. I give you this price. I'll give you that price. And that's not really what business needs ultimately. Yes, you need to save money every way you can, but it doesn't stop there. It actually just starts there. That's where everything begins. That's where the relationship goes. And I said, startups, they have a lot of questions. They don't know really what to do. And a lot of times you get hit on the back end with extra fees and the small guy does, the startups don't really know what it's about. The big companies aren't even paying attention. So you tell your shipping team to do one thing and it doesn't always go the way you hope. And that's where we can just come in and do a review and see how we can help.
Doesn't go the way you hope. Yeah, I have to tell you, I have when I deal with employees that I really haven't had to deal with that most of my life. I was an employee myself. And nothing goes the way you hope with employees. It's like you really have to be systematic. You have to be on top of it. You have to constantly supervise and constantly give the instructions either over and over again or try a different way. Nothing really works the way you hope. That's really the truth. So this is where you are today. That's where you ended up today. But you had a long career that started when you were actually 5 years old. It was when you started going out, and I love that because even I, who had started working really, really young, I think I was 12 or 13, at age 5, I didn't want to, and I didn't have a clue what that meant. So, and you said you started working at age 5. What does that mean? What does a 5-year-old do?
Well, I'll tell you the story. I was a kid. Back then, Yankee Doodles were 7 cents for a 3-pack. Now, you can imagine as a kid back then, if the Yankee Doodles were 7 cents, how much money did a kid really have? So you'd have to scrounge up your pennies. I'd have to ask my friends for a penny here and there so I can get a 3-pack and split it. So that didn't always work out. So I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to make money. I went to my father. He was a restaurant supply butcher. I said, I want 7 cents an hour. That's what I needed. So he said, okay. So we started, he was wholesale. He started building a retail business. So I was out handing out flyers, actually in Central Park, having to go up to people and try to get them to take the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was an interesting. Well, I had to learn how to get them to take it. And then that was on the weekends. And then in the summertime, I was in the icebox. Dre dragged me out of bed 4 o'clock in the morning. Is in the icebox, working in the icebox, and I actually enjoyed it. It was a great family environment. The whole industry at the time was fantastic. A lot of great people, and just had a lot of fun doing it. So that's where that started.
Oh, so it was kind of like for you a play and a way to get what you want, and it was actually really work.
Yeah. It was work. But it was enjoyable. I that's the kind of way I look at it. I was getting what I wanted, which was my 7 cents an hour. And then by the time I was 9, I was doing door-to-door sales. You know, so I was in the neighborhood as far as you could go at 9 years old, knocking on doors. And I just enjoy it.
You enjoy making money, and you enjoy playing the game. But when you say hand out flyers, I don't know for anybody who has never handed out flyers, because I've handed out flyers. It's not that easy, okay? You think it's easy to just sit there and give flyers, but I don't know if today people are more stuck up and afraid, but most people, you give them a flyer, they don't want to take it. They literally almost like if they touch the flyer, they might burn up alive or something. So you really do you have to work out a system of how to give it to them. How did you figure that out?
In the beginning it was, I guess a little bit of frustration. I had my father there. I had his partners there coaching me on, going back and forth, go say this, do this. But first they let me fail,
Mm-hmm.
And then they started giving me points. So it was an interesting process. Like I said, I was very lucky. That's the one thing about that I always say about work, starting in business as a kid. When you're a kid, the successful business people around you are willing to help you. They're willing to give you the information. Once I hit about 16, they didn't want to talk to me anymore because now I was the competition. But as a young kid, you can get all the information from them. They go out of their way. They taught me goal setting at 5 years old. And they pushed me, set up your goals. And these were just friends in the industry that were just, you saw on the street, running around back and forth. So it was a lot of good people and a lot of good opportunities. That's what I enjoy about business. And I do think people should start at a very early age, not necessarily going crazy, but you need to be in a business environment where you have successful people who are willing to coach you.
Yeah, so you said something really profound here. You said, first they let me fail. And I think that's one of the things that people skip over and then they don't understand why they can't succeed, because failure happens to be a huge step to success, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get those the creative part of your brain going. And if everything's going the right way, you don't get into that mode where you come up with bigger and better solutions or faster ways of doing things or new ideas. It's only when you fail that you take a moment and reevaluate everything and you say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I do it this way. Maybe I'll do it that way. Maybe I should just try something completely different. Yeah, if things are running smooth, then you're not doing that. You're just on autopilot and things just don't. It's not a bad thing to have that all the time, but it's also good to be able to have a challenge.
So basically what you're saying is that when you fail, instead of putting your tail between your legs and walking away with your head down, that's when you actually start being creative. That's when the juices start flowing. If you actually go the other way and say, well, how can I make it not so, rather than, well, this is the way it is and this is just my life is a failure, take that and use it to let those juices flow, so to speak.
When something goes wrong or when someone says no, that's when the game begins. That's really when it starts.
Not ends.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's
no,
not
that's
ending
when it
there.
Starts.
It's beginning
That's mm-hmm. that's it. That's exactly. Yeah, that's the fun way of looking at it. That's when the game starts. So I even have a little song in my head. Yeah, I have a little song in my head as a trigger, and then you start coming up with ways, coming up with solutions.
Okay.
And the
song?
Trick. Yeah. it's actually the I'm dating myself a little bit. If you remember Pac-Man, the music from Pac-Man.
Well, I'm dating myself too. It was my favorite game. Yes.
Yeah. So when he gets eaten or when he hits the power pill and all that stuff going on in the head. So that's what kicks in. So okay. Now the game starts, and then can visualize, and that kind of relieves the stress too, because now I have something enjoyable. I'm thinking about something enjoyable rather than the craziness, and that helps. That helps, and then all of a sudden, boom! Now you start moving. What I can suggest is, when you have a challenge or you have something, very quickly try to come up with a solution, because as long as you have that challenge, you're going to keep having it. Until you come up with a solution, it's going to keep hitting you in the head, and you're going to wonder why it keeps happening to me. It's because you haven't come up with a solution yet. That's what I think.
And then if solution number one doesn't work, it is still not the end of the world. You come up with solution number two, three, four, until you come up with solution that works, right? That's what you're saying.
Well, perfect example. If you look at Albert Einstein, he invented the light bulb. It took him over 10,000 tries, and he just wrote everything down. And then somewhere, he figured out that an experiment at 5,000 matched up with an experiment at 10,000. Those were the two pieces of the puzzle. But people thought he was crazy. He just kept trying it over 10,000 tries to get it right. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have light if it wasn't for that.
Well, let's be realistic. People were right. He was crazy. You have to be crazy, because if you really look at the environment where he lived and the knowledge at the time, and there comes this guy with this crazy, outrageous idea that there could be something that brings energy and light, that's pretty crazy, really. So what really, you have to be a little crazy to succeed and go beyond reality of what you see. So are you telling me that I have to fail 10,000 freaking times to get somewhere?
Well, I think you need to come up with the solution within three times. If you come up with you hit the wall three times, you'd better have the answer. If you have an objection, mm-hmm. or you're having a challenge, you better have the answer by the third time. Always going to keep on going. A lot of people wait till 10 times and they're killing themselves. They just, stressing themselves out. Very quickly come up with a solution. You can sleep on it. You don't have to, bang your head against the wall until you come up with a solution. You put it in the back burner for a day. Think about it, and then you come on. Training is very important. That always helps. Audio, video,
training?
Books.
Oh,
trainings.
Mm-hmm.
All of the book. There's a lot of books out there, whether it's personal development or sales or leadership. Videos. YouTube has all this stuff now. You can get a lot of information from there. You might just get you might listen to something for an hour and only get a minute's worth of information, but that 1 minute was the piece that you needed. So, it's a lot of, I enjoy doing that.
Right, especially these days, training is, so abundant, and you really could get a lot of fluff and a lot of not helpful information. But if you do get that 1 minute or even that 30-second nugget that you needed to solve your problem, then it was worth the hour that you invest. Yeah, I totally understand that. It makes a lot of sense.
And it also makes sense to listen to it over again, because what you weren't ready for today, you didn't hear it. The next time you listen to it, that might be the piece. It might be a totally different piece of the puzzle that you need, but you weren't ready for it before, and now you are. So it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It's true with everything. I remember I read the book 1984 in high school. And then it was a book I had to read, a requirement, and it was nice and interesting, a little tension and stuff like that. Then I read it again after I graduated college, and it was a completely different story to me. Like, wow, did I miss that? How did I miss that? And then I read it again about a few years ago, and again, it was even completely different than the first and the second. So it's really my perspective that changed. The story is still exactly the same. So
yeah.
That's actually really good advice. Listen to it again in a week or two when your perspective might have changed. And so, so we go from making 7 cents an hour at age five into going into the ice box. What in heaven's name did you do in the ice box?
I packed meat.
Oh,
very,
so you
very
have to
cold.
Stand inside? Mm-hmm.
Standing all day, yes. Packing boxes, yes. They got older. I had to pack them, move them. And then when I was a teenager, I was making deliveries, so you had to learn how to pack a hand truck and move a hand truck, 400, 500 pounds of meat, and be able to handle it without it falling over. But it was heavy work, but it was, like I said, it was a good crew. Very cold. You had to dress warm. Your hands were always cold, even with the gloves on,
Yeah.
It was worth it. And there was always the good thing was there was always food. So they had it set up where they had a little grill going in the downstairs in the locker room, so anybody could come in at any time and have a steak or a burger or whatever they wanted they could eat.
Don't say that to me when I'm hungry. So actually, it sounds like your childhood and your early teen years were basically like a boot camp to your life. And that's the kind of preparation that you have that you can't pay enough for it. And you just got it naturally as your life. You really, I don't think you can visualize it any other way. That was just life, and that was just what you did. Right? It wasn't like you thought about it. Oh, my God, I'm here in the icebox. I want to be in the playground instead. It wasn't like that for you.
I wanted that 7 cents an hour, and I was very lucky to have people around me that were great. I can't say enough about the industry, how these people were, all the different business owners. It didn't matter that even the drivers, the butchers, everybody was just phenomenal. It was a big family environment. I was very fortunate.
Family is really important. I think it's one of those things that you get as a child, the kind of security that you really, really need to develop correctly. And I think because of that support that you had and because of that love that you felt, that could be why you also are very active in community events. That's like another aspect of your life. What do you do with the community?
Well, I'm in the New York area, so I've worked with community groups to help them do what they want to do. I've worked with parks, community groups. Currently, we have there's an event coming up with CUSAC for autism support. That's coming up in January. So it's called Shave the Stash. It's to raise money, so you have a lot of local business owners, politicians show up, everybody chips in, and it's to help out the organization, CUSAC, Quality Services for the Autistic Community, to help them, to enable them to help the community, to provide more services. So it's a nice little event.
What's their website?
I have a text. You can QSAC.com, but I actually came up with a they can text. If they text SHIP123 to 797979, I'll give them information. There's a link there to the landing page that gives them more information on the charity, and there's also a link if they want to contact me. That's the easiest way to do it. So it's SHIP123, text that to 797979 on your phone. That'd be the easiest way.
There you go. So you
How's
can
that?
Help autism, and that's really awesome. So how do you feel about community work and helping in the community? How would you ideally like to see it set up?
Well, I started that with my parents were very big in community service, and they brought me along, and the same thing. It was wonderful people having fun, laughing, and helping. And again, it was always food. There was always a good time. And I got the bug very early, and I said, this is something that I wanted to do, and I've been doing that for as long as I can remember. That's the shortest way I could put it. It doesn't really matter what you do. You just find something that you're passionate about. If people need help, there's a lot of community groups that are always looking for more people to come help out. And you don't have to go spending a whole lifetime on it, a few hours here and there. And I'm really good with problem solving, so that's a benefit. And I'm good at networking, so it's always – I can connect – I end up connecting one community group to another one that they might not realize that they have something in common or they're trying to do something together. And that's it. We've put – there's so much out there, so much opportunity out there to help. And there's so many untapped resources. We were able to. I was trying very hard for a long time to try to get a location to put in a 25-foot Christmas tree for the community. So we finally found a location. So come the beginning of December, we have a tree lighting, and then for the month, we have a Santa there for the kids. The parents and the kids can take their pictures. We have a whole thing going on. So I was able to do that. And again, I'm not doing the physical work. I was able to get that, put the pieces together so that the people who wanted to do it could do it.
See that? You sound like you're very passionate about it. And we have two people on the line that might want to ask you a question. So I want to ask you guys to stand by. One of them is with the number 0221, and one is with the number 6423. And I want you guys to stand by. If you do have a question, I will come to you in a little while. But first, I really want to ask you something else, because you mentioned something else that was really, really important and that I feel really strongly about. And you said something about part of the advice that people gave you growing up is to set your goals. And I really think it's important, and so many people miss that. They do a lot of things, but they really don't take the time to set their goals. And I think you need to take a big percentage of your time to set goals. As a matter of fact, we're doing a goal-setting session tomorrow. What would be the difference between doing something without setting a goal? To me, the way I see it, it's like getting in your car, driving 150 miles an hour, and you don't know where you're going if you don't set your goal. So,
well, go ahead.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Sorry, I cut you off there. Yeah, no, it helps because whatever you're doing, there's a bunch of things that try to sidetrack you. You get distracted. The good thing about goals is it keeps you focused. In other words, this is where I want to go. This, like you said, this is the direction. This is my end point. This is where I want to go. So all the little things that distract you, now all of a sudden you can get back on track and not get off track, because now it pulls you back into your focus. It pulls you back onto where you need to go. So just thinking about, okay, this is what I'm going to do in 6 months, and now on a day-to-day, you start to do little things to get you to that goal. And when something knocks you off course, wait a minute, I want to be there in 6 months. You have the reminders up on your mirrors, and in your wallet, or, you know, in your pocket. You look at them, and that'll help you stay that way instead of all the things that try to pull you out of out of focus. Six months,
so,
1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, yeah.
Right. So it's not only important to set your goals and lock them up in the vault, but to actually put them in front of you so that you never forget where you're going. Again, it's like getting in your car and halfway through your destination, your GPS dies and then you don't know where you're going anymore. And then you can be going around in circles, and you don't want your life to be a circle where you're chasing your tail. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so,
yes.
William, we have, I'm going to go to 0221. I don't know if they have a question or a comment because I can't talk to them before I put them on. But would you be willing to take a question if they have one?
Sure.
Okay, so let's see who it is. And if they do have anything, then we will definitely see. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What is your name?
Lauren Ellis.
Hi, Lauren.
Oh, hi, Lauren.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you for joining us, Lauren. Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Lauren is actually helping us out with the CUSEC, with the charity event. Lauren runs an organization called Art for Healing. If you contact me, I can give you information on that. But she does a great job. She works with artists and she works with nonprofits to give the artists more recognition and to get money to the nonprofits. And she's actually going to be helping us out with the CUSAC. She's going to be auctioning off an artist's work.
And also,
we're going to
do, Bill, is we're going to post the benefit on our homepage, our website, because we get a lot of hits for some reason. I don't know why, but we're 17 years old. We're based in Hell's Kitchen, Art for Healing, NYC International Org. And, we support great charities like Bill's Autism Charity is wonderful. And Bill does great work with so many people. We've been friends a long time, and he's a very sincere person. And I don't know, these days it's hard to find sincere people. I don't know, maybe him. But and we also recently supported the New York Public Library Business and Science Library Career Day for Performing Arts. We are in the visual and performing arts as our area because we do believe that the involvement with the arts heals, but I am also on the advisory board of the Mental Health Foundation, and I'm also working with Mrs. Cuomo's organization, Mentoring New York. It's a wonderful organization our governor is now supporting, and Bill had introduced me to a wonderful woman named Toby Nadler, who has formed an amazing woman. You would like this, Tippi, I'd like to invite you. It's called Women in Business, and Bill was there the other day, and he introduced me to her. So he networks really nicely with a lot of people in many, many ways, and he's great. Thank you. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. I love the idea of healing through art because art is such a beautiful way of expressing, and I think in a way, really, anybody that does art does go through a healing process, but to do it consciously and to bring out the process is just, to me, it's just an amazing way to do things. I love it.
Thank
I just
you.
Love
I
it. I love the art. So thank you so much, and thank you so much for your coming.
Yep.
I really do appreciate it. I definitely will check it out, and I will now go to our second call.
Well, yeah, I'll just
thank
give you
so
the
much.
Website real quick. Okay, thank
go
you.
Ahead, Lauren. Go ahead. What's the website?
www.artforhealingnyc.org, and it's art, A-R-T-F-O-R, artforhealingnyc.org. And the autism benefit will be on our website to promote it, too. Thank you.
That's wonderful. So what you can do also is you can email me at cptalkshow@gmail.com. Email me the link, and I will put it down in the description of the show so that if someone is listening to it on the Internet, all they'll have to do is click, and they'll be able to go right on to it. It's called the lazy way, so they don't even have to type it out.
Great. Thank you. So what is the email again? C? Your email?
No, I'll get it to you
email.
Later. Yeah, okay. Yes, I have it. Yes,
okay.
I have it.
That's
I have
okay.
it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Hold on. And also we have another caller with the number of 6423, so I'm going to let them come in, Bill, okay? Hi, good morning.
Did we lose him?
I'm not sure. Hello? Okay, I think that we don't have them, so I'm just going to put them on mute. But that's okay. If they have a question, we'll come back
to them
later.
Maybe
they'll
come back.
Yeah. So yeah, it definitely comes through that you're very passionate about community service, community help, putting people together. I think that's such a wonderful, beautiful expression of yourself. And also, I believe that when you do that, it actually even helps you get to your goals easier and faster because when you just think about me runs away from you. But when you think about me as part of a community, then you kind of quadruple yourself into so much more. Did you find that that's what happens to you?
I do it because for the coffee. I tell them if there's a cup of coffee, I'll show up. If there's no coffee, you know. And if you want me to stop talking, if you want me to stop talking, take away the coffee. That's what I tell them.
Okay, so a cup of coffee is good enough, right? That's all
that's,
you need.
That's
no
good
sushi,
yeah,
nothing else, just coffee.
A cup of coffee is fine, yes. And
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, that's it. Just a little more about the charity. As I said, they can send me a text, ship 123 to 797979. The charity is for CUSAC, and I also want to thank Frank Arcabaccio from Redken Saloon Salon. He's hosting it. He does a fantastic job. He's also the great thing is just about everybody that shows up to this event is involved in the community one way or another. So, again, it's a lot of great people who like helping out. So,
and autism happens to be something that is really growing, it seems like more and more kids, I don't know about adults, but more and more kids seem to be diagnosed with autism. Is it some kind of a plague or some kind of something that's going around, or what do you think is causing it?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I honestly don't know.
No, I mean, what's
that's not my area of expertise. You can always get a hold of CUSAC and ask. The important thing is this, when you have someone with autism, it is a little bit more work, working with them, and it can be overwhelming just to have a kid in general. When they need a little extra help, it can be overwhelming. So that's where CUSAC comes in. They do a phenomenal job working with the families to help the kids not only just get ahead, but also help the family with some of that pressure, some of that stress. So they do an incredible job.
That sounds really nice. Yeah, and I'm not sure what it is, but when you do have a situation where you have to take care of someone, and it's a challenge, having a community help you is really a lifesaver. It really is a lifesaver. So thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate your input, and I really appreciate you joining us today. You definitely are the idea person, and you definitely sound like business building would be your strong point. So we have come to the end of our time here, and I wanted to just know if there was something that you want to kind of message to leave for everybody before you go.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to let people know about the charity event. And as I said, for small businesses, all the way to international companies, any questions, any concerns they might have on the shipping side, get a hold of me. I'll be more than happy to talk with them and see if we can help them or how we can help them. And everybody should get involved. Save them money. Several different ways, not just the cost of the box. And most important, I think, is everybody should find a way to help out in their community. Get involved somehow.
Get involved in your community. Enjoy what you do and have fun doing it. And remember that failure is not the end of the line. It's actually the beginning of the line. And so that's a very important lesson, and it's a great lesson to have on a Monday morning so that you can carry it with you for the rest of the week. I'd like to wish you guys a wonderful week. Have a magical day today. If you're in the New York area, you're probably going to be walking in the rain, so you might want to maybe dance a little bit in the rain.
There you go.
And that might change your day. As for me, walking in the rain, not my favorite thing, but I will try. So I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. This has been a wonderful journey, and we will see you again on the other side. Have a magical day.
Thank you very much, Tippi.
Enjoy the music. You're welcome.
Okay.